Thunders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this is what God had said back one of the prophets. And now it's Pentecost. Why did all of a sudden a fire came upon them and they got tongues? And they went out to speak to the people, and they're all speaking different languages. The disciples now were speaking all different languages and in their own tongues.
Amen.
That's so God took them out there to speak to their own nations in their tongues. And the people could understand.
This is the work of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And it's supposed to lead us in all truth. So now these believers, these disciples, are now speaking the tongues of all the people that are listening to them. And that seems strange. If they're all from Jerusalem, Judea, how do they know the language and the tongues of all the others in this? And that's part of what Peter spoke about in Acts 2.
Yes.
14 to 44, when he's speaking to these 3,000 people. And imagine that, sister. 3,000 people got baptized and accepted Jesus Christ. At that moment. That was the first mega church.
That's right. Amen. And this was the beginning so that the missions would be accomplished.
Yes.
The world would know about Jesus Christ. And it started at the day of Pentecost.
And remember, it started with only 12 disciples. And
that's
after
right.
Jesus Christ ascended, he gave the Great Commission when we read it earlier. Go out and preach my word. Teach the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so this is when the mission began. This is when evangelists began. And here we are today, over 3,000 years later, and the Bible is still in existence. The most written book, the most read book. And sister, I can clearly say this. As much as the world has tried to suppress it and to change it and to denounce it, it is still here today. God's word, stronger and more powerful than ever.
That's right. Because he sits at the right hand of the Father. And Peter spoke of this. I think it was Peter. And then, what was I just reading out? It says in verse 37 of Acts 2, now when they heard this, when they heard about, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now it's more above that, but it's a lot, okay? So now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.
Amen. And how many got saved that day? Over 3,000.
Yes.
In Jesus' mighty name.
And then I know I said 44. I'm going to go to 46 of Acts 2. So continually dealing with one accord in the temple, they're now continually with each other, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food and gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
And that's what we need today. We need a Pentecost. We need the tongues of fire to come upon the people again. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. And so, sister, we're continuing in the poem?
No, we missed one scripture, and I think now's the time to say it. 1 Colossians 1, 6.
Yes, you are correct. Actually, we didn't miss it. It's the last scripture to close out line 4. And I am there.
Okay.
Colossians 1, verse 6. Mm. Actually, sister, I think I need to go
up a bit.
Yeah. Verses 5 to 6. Sister?
Hmm?
I think I need to go verses 4.
Okay.
to 6, as the Spirit leads.
Yeah.
Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understand God's grace. What a profound statement. This was written over 3,000 years ago, and it says this. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. 3,000 years ago from where it goes.
And they didn't know the whole world either back then.
Back then, it was just Rome and the area, immediate area that they live in. So think about this, sister. Over 3,000 years ago, when this verse, when God's word in Colossians 1, 4 to 6 was stated, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Here we are 3,000 years later. This statement holds true because this Bible, this gospel, is the most published word, book ever of all time. It survived from then till now. There's no other book like it. And it's supposed to be the instruction and the manual that God left and gave to his people, us, when we put our trust and hope in him, on how we should live our lives here when we trust him.
It's a guide.
It's a guide, it's a direction, it's our floor plan, it's our life plan.
It's our life plan. Yes.
On how we should live once we choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And sister, you know the beauty about this God that we serve? He knows we're not perfect. In fact, he knows we're far from perfect.
That's right.
But this God loves the imperfect people.
That's right.
He loves the sinners. He loves the one that don't have confidence in themselves. But if we have confidence in Christ, that's all we need.
That's right.
He takes us from the bottom and puts us at the top.
That's right.
The Bible speaks, he takes us from the tail and he makes us the head.
That's right.
The Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us, and he is with us to the end of time.
Amen.
What an awesome and a mighty God we serve.
Yes, absolutely.
And sister, here's the kicker. He cares about every single thing in our lives.
He does.
Every single thing. The Bible says he knows every hair on our head and our body. The Bible says he knew us in our mother's womb before we were born. And he's the only person that knows the first breath we take, the last breath we take, and everything in between that we do.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And we, sister, by his grace and mercy, when we put our trust in him, can call him Abba, Father.
Amen.
Can we ask for a better daddy than that?
No, we cannot. He can do far beyond our fathers could ever do, or our mothers, or ourselves.
Amen, amen. He's given us earthly mothers and father, but he's our spiritual mother and father.
That's
to
right.
The end of time.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
And then we'll go live with him. We'll live with our daddy God.
Forever in eternity. The Bible speaks we will dine with him in Jesus Christ at the banquet table.
Amen.
In eternity.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, so now we're going to paragraph 4, right?
Paragraph 4. We're moving on.
So we're on the Court of Dispersal for Poems of Divine Power, Book 2, page 67 to 68. We're starting on paragraph 4 now. Okay, I'll start last sentence, paragraph 3. Speaking the word of God, setting hearts on fire, singing songs of praise and fervently praying, magnifying God's holy name, knowing that the darkness has been confronted by the light of God, Jesus Christ, dispersing the enemy. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
So the first, it was Acts 5:8. Are you there? Or do you want me to do that one?
I'm there, sister. Okay. And Acts 5:8 reads as such. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Sister, we need to expand on that because I know the story.
Yes.
We're going to go up to Acts 5. And we're going to read the story.
Okay.
And we're going to go from Acts 5:1 to 10.
Okay.
Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in. Not knowing what had happened, Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment, she fell at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, finding her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events.
Now, why would they die?
Now, sister, that's a very good question. And the other question I want to add to that is, why would the Lord be that cruel or have that effect of punishment on two people that merely kept some financial gain from a land that they sold?
They lied to the Holy Spirit. And amen. God will not be mocked.
Amen. 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 So there are times when there are dire consequences when we are disobedient, and then there are times when God extends grace and mercy.
And that scripture should have been down a little further, but that's okay. I think we needed to talk about that right now. So that's true. We cannot lie. God knows when we lie. God knows when it's truthful. God knows when we're thinking even to lie or to tell the truth. He knows all things. But if you lie against the word of God, and they gave their word to that they would give this money, they literally lied to the Holy Spirit. We don't know the whole conversation they had with these people, but that's why they died.
Sister, I'm going to bring God's word, Romans 9:15, okay, to add to this. For he said to Moses, "I will have mercy on who I have mercy, and I'll have compassion on who I have compassion." And God chooses and decided who he has compassion on. And who are we to question what God does? Job did, and he immediately regretted it. And God asked him and questioned him, and Job, where were you when I created the foundation of the earth, when I laid the waters, when I put the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon, where were you? And immediately, I'm paraphrasing, but immediately Job kept his mouth quiet because he knows. And the Bible speaks, who understands the mind of God, who knows the mind of God? We do not. And so, it is his will and his purpose, his choice, his decision, and we have no control over that.
That's right. And you know, I've learned that when we sin, yeah, we hurt people when we sin. But when we sin against God, and
Amen.
Only do we sin against God. David Amen. Says that in the Psalms.
Amen. And I've learned, sister, that when we do sin, and as gracious and merciful God is, there's still consequences for those sins that we have to deal with, that he has to deal with us in order for him to continue to be true to his word.
That's right. Amen. Because he cannot lie.
Amen. And amen.
So then the next scripture is Ephesians 5. Okay, Ephesians 5, 19. A bit of a glare there. Okay. I'm going to start at 17. It's 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the evil will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Going to go to 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Amen. So sing hymns and songs unto the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
And amen. Now there's James 5.
James 5, sister. And you have James 5, verse 13 and 16. I'm going to read 13 through 16.
Okay.
Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sin to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Amen.
Amen.
And that goes with that line, singing songs of praise and fervently praying.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And now we'll go to the second line of paragraph 4.
Yes.
Magnifying God's holy name.
Amen.
So that is Psalm 34:3.
Yeah, you're going to read the paragraph? Oh, the poem?
We did read the poem.
Short and sweet.
Right.
Yes, so we're heading over. We're heading over.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we're heading over to Psalm 34.
Yeah, are you there or do you want me to go there?
Sister, if you can head there, that'd be great.
Okay, there we are. Psalm 34, verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
I want to read from 1. I knew that would happen. I will bless, so Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And this is why I sought the Lord and he heard me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. So then Psalm 69:30. You want me to go there?
Yes, please, my sister.
Okay. Instead of doing your let your fingers walk through the yellow pages, let your fingers walk through the Bible.
Amen.
Psalm 69, excuse me, 30. I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify him with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Can I say why?
Yes.
This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves. Praising him is better than sacrifice.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Okay. So now we're going to line 3 of paragraph 4, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to... So the first 2 lines we've already done. Singing songs of praise, fervently praying, magnifying God's holy name, knowing that the darkness has been confronted. Amen.
Amen. I've got the verses on this, all the verses here, sister. John 1:5 reads as such, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And John 3:20-21 reads as such, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So now we're going to line 4 of paragraph 4.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll read the line again that we just read. Knowing that the darkness has been confronted by the light of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen, amen, amen.
And that's it.
And the first verse there is John 8:12. I'm there, sister. Okay. And it reads, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Amen.
Amen. And sister, there's another passage. I'm not sure where it says. It says we are the light in. And this passage says that Jesus says here, I'm the light of the world.
Right.
There's another passage says that we are the light in the world. Speaking about the light of the world. So by him, but when we put our trust in him and accept him as the Lord and Savior, we become light in the world.
Amen.
But he is the light of the world.
And we're the light in the world, and he's the light of the world.
And we're supposed to shine his light while we're in the world.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it backs it up, doesn't it?
Amen. Amen.
So now we're on 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6.
Yes.
For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen.
So the darkness from the beginning has been confronted with the light.
Amen.
And it has been exposed.
Yes.
But people don't understand the darkness and they're afraid of the light.
People live in the darkness and they're afraid of the light.
But they also don't. They know it's evil, but they don't understand all the consequences to living in that darkness.
And that's where Satan comes in.
That's right.
He keeps us blinded to the consequences of living in the darkness.
Yeah, they're blinded. They got scales on, like Paul on the Damascus Road. He was blinded. He was killing people. He thought he was doing the right thing. He was killing the Christians. But when God brought him into the light, he was blinded for 3 days, and the scales came off. Guess what happened? He became one of the most renowned preachers and book writer of the Bible.
Amen. Amen, sister. When I think about that encounter, and we recollect and talk about that encounter with Paul on the road to Damascus. There's a hymn song that comes to mind. You know which one it is?
No.
Amazing Grace.
Yes.
He encountered the amazing grace of God's grace on that road to Damascus.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And so, sister, we're going to play a
Godos. No, I've got one more verse to do.
Oh.
Okay, so the last verse of paragraph 4 is,
yes,
by the light of Jesus Christ, dispersing the enemy. And that's Colossians 1:13.
And I am there. And it's fitting because the first song we're gonna play two songs back to back. And the first song we're going to play, sister, is actually called Walk in the Light, as we're talking about it. And then we're going to play Be the Center. Yeah, okay. Be the Center.
Okay.
And so Colossians 1 verse 13 says, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Jesus, that we can walk in the light.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Sometimes life brings us down to our knees. But that is where we learn to look up. I have walked through storms. I have carried pain. But the Lord never left my side.
Amen.
I do not walk alone. The Lord is still with me. And as long as his light shines over me, I will keep on walking forward. One step, one prayer.
Hallelujah. Walking in his light. One
Amen.
Prayer, one day at a time.
Amen.
One step at a time. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And so, sister, we're going to continue and move on in our beautiful poem, The Court of Dispersal. Page 67, the Poems of Divine Power, Book 2. And by the way, you can get copies of Book 1 or copies of Book 2. You can contact us here at CKMS 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo at 519-884-2567. You can go on the website, Poems of Divine Power, and you can request your book through there as well. And please, you are sown into the kingdom of God. You're sown in eternity, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. So, we're back to the Court of Dispersal, Poems of Divine Power, Book 2. You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM, Poems of Divine Power Solution, with Richard and Annie Lean. Thanks for joining us. So, we're going to paragraph 5. By his right hand, he brings healing and justice to those who have called upon his name in ways beyond all understanding, seeing evil fall. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. And
so
first scripture verse, sister, is Psalm 138:7. I'm there.
Okay.
And it reads as such. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the angers of my foes. With your right hand, you save me.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
and
you, Lord.
How true that one is.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And then we're going to Psalm 110:1.
Psalm 110:1, and it reads as such. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
Amen.
Amen.
Then we're going to Matthew
22:44. I am there.
Okay.
And Matthew 22:44 reads as such. The Lord said to my Lord. No. Oh, it's the same.
Oh, okay.
Oh, did I read? Wait a second. Sister.
What?
My eyes have been opened. This is the first time I've noticed it. Psalm 110, verse 1,
right,
is exactly the same as Matthew 22:44.
Well, I should have showed a connection, but I didn't.
Yes, Matthew 22:44 reads, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your foot. And Psalm 110:1 says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand on the until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. So is the psalm the Old Testament or the New?
Old.
And so here we have a specific connection of the Old to the New that pretty much is word for word. And so when they say that when the New Testament came that the Old is irrelevant, no. The New Testament quotes a lot from the Old Testament as well. In fact, the Deuteronomy is what I've learned is the most quoted book in the New Testament of the Old. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy quite a bit when he spoke in the New Testament.
And that's confirmation.
It is that both the Old and the New, the Lord uses together, combined together, and that is the essence of the Bible.
Because to me, the Old Testament is the beginning of the ribbon of life.
Amen.
And it goes to the river, the ribbon of eternity.
Amen.
It follows right through until you come to eternity in Revelation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. How great a God we serve.
What an awesome and mighty God we serve. Revealing truth and wonders day by day. Thank you, Lord.
So by his right hand, this is now, we're on paragraph 5, page 67 of the Court of Dispersal. We did line 1, by his right hand.
Yes.
Meaning Jesus. He brings healing and justice to those who have called upon his name. That's verse 2 and 3. He brings healing and justice to those who have called upon his name. And then we'll go into the scriptures. Are you at 107, Psalm 107?
Psalm 107, verse 20 reads as such. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And now we'll go to Acts. Oh, lost my place. Acts 2, 21. Here we are. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen, amen.
And that was Acts 2:21. I want to read that again. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen. Couple key words in there. Whoever includes everyone, and the result when they call upon them. There's 3 steps here. Whoever, that's everyone, call on who? The name of the Lord, which is Christ Jesus. So everyone calls on Christ Jesus. And what's the final statement there, sister?
Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
There's no ands, ifs, or buts.
That's the beauty of our God. He makes it so specific, so clear, and so precise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord, for
Amen.
Your promise. And that's a promise from God.
He keeps
his promise.
So it doesn't matter who you are or where you are. You call on the name of Jesus. Doesn't even say here to repent, but you need to repent.
And I'm going to quickly add Psalm 147, verse 3 behind that. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So if you call on him and you are brokenhearted, he will heal you and bind up your wounds as well.
And if you're a sinner and you repent and call on his name, you're
saved.
Salvation. So easy.
Blessing upon blessing upon blessing when we call upon the name of the Lord.
Yes, amen. So now we're going to Psalm 147.
That's what I just read, my sister.
Sorry.
Back behind that.
I was looking at you, not at. Okay, so Romans 10.
I'm heading over to Romans 10, verse 13. And God's word reads as such. Everyone, again, it's just repeating the truth that we just spoke about. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen.
Again, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, it's the same thing God is repeating. If you call on him, you'll be saved. If you put your trust in him, you'll be saved. Anyone and everyone is included. From the old to the new. And this was back then 3,000 years ago. And the Bible says past, present, and future we shall be saved.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
It's so simple. Jesus, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. I confess my sins.
And
I receive you as my Savior.
And?
You're saved. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to do this. Where's my thing? And you're saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And salvation, we're still going to offer the gift of salvation shortly. So don't go anywhere.
Right. Now we're going to James 5, 14 to 15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to go to 15. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
So it says in 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We read that before. The last part. Okay, now we're going to line 4 in the poem, correct?
Yes.
Okay, paragraph 4, line 4. Oh, I thought we did that. Did we do line? No, we didn't do line 4. Okay. By the light, okay. Knowing that the darkness has been confronted by the light of God, Jesus Christ. Okay, so we're going to Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9.
I am there, okay. And it reads as such. And sister, if you're going to go to Philippians, read from 2 to 7.
Okay.
If you get over there. So this is Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. For my thoughts, and we talked about this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Amen.
And I want to add in there, and somewhere in there, there's another verse in the Bible that says, who can understand the mind of God, or who can know the mind of God? No one.
No one.
Amen.
Okay, so now we're going to Philippians 4, verse 7.
Philippians 4, verse 7.
And
what you're expanding.
Okay, so where was I?
From you starting at 2 or verse 3?
Three.
You decide.
3. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement, also and rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord, for your precious and beautiful and powerful word.
So now we're going to the line 5. So line 4 said, by the light of God, Jesus Christ, dispersing the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
So Deuteronomy 28:7.
Deuteronomy 28:7, sister, I am there, and God's word reads as such. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in 7. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. And then Judges 9:56. And this is where the reference of this is where the poem came from, was from Judges 9. So verse 56. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Amalek, which he had done to his father by killing his 70 brothers. And then it goes 57. And all the evil of the men of Shechem, God returned on their own heads, and on them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. That was a horrific story.
It was indeed.
So everything that he did evil came back on him. God brought justice.
Amen.
We're not to take revenge ourselves. We'll put it all into God's hands and let him justify you.
Thank you, Lord.
And to bring the consequences to the ones that have hurt you or harmed you in any form. Amen. So now we're going to Psalm 68:1. Psalm 68:1. Whoops, went
through. I am there.
Okay.
Psalm 68:1 reads as such. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. And then I'm at Psalm 110:1, and it reads as such. The Lord says to my Lord, again, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet.
Amen.
Amen.
Now we're going to a song.
We are going to go to a song, sister. We're going to go to, I believe, I Meet You at the River.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. I'll meet you down by the river.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I can't wait to meet my mom at the banks of the Jordan.
Mine too, and my dad, and amen. My sister, and my brother.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Sister, that's sometimes that's something we forget as brother and sister in Christ, is that when we move on to glory, we've got a lot of family members waiting there for us. But not only that, we get to see Paul and David.
Everybody.
And Moses and all the believers in Christ that have gone on before
Enoch.
Us.
I want to see Enoch.
All of them.
Yeah, me
and
too.
So, and Joseph and Mary, because you know they were believers to trust the Lord.
Yes.
In fact, to be blessed to carry the chosen Messiah. And so sometimes we forget all the beautiful things that are waiting for us in eternity.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
I'll even get to see some of my young aunts that died at very young age.
Amen.
And I'll get to see them too.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord.
Okay. So now we're on paragraph 6 to conclude this poem.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The Chord of Dispersal. Page 67 of Poem Divine Power, Book 2, Paragraph 6. By his right hand, he brings healing and justice to those who have called upon his name. Oh, no, that's not paragraph. That's paragraph 5. Sorry, we did that one.
Yes, we did, my
sorry,
sister.
Page 60. I forgot to turn. Page 68. Because the saints stood on guard. Oh, I better read. I guess that's why. Okay, paragraph 5. I'm going to read the last two lines. In ways beyond understanding, seeing evil fall. Now paragraph 6. Because the saints stood on guard, being alert in prayer, communicating with God, interceding for others, making their requests known. Then with patience, listening for his voice of authority to answer, while glorifying him for his wisdom and righteousness. Amen. So the
amen.
First scripture is Ezekiel. Are you there?
Yeah, Ezekiel 22, verse 30, and it reads as such. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it, but I found no one.
He found no one to stand in the gap. Okay, so Mark 13, 33. I'll start at 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. That's talking about the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
No one knows, not even.